I'm not going to divulge the place where I work, but some weeks ago it was Employee Appreciation Day and I wasn't in the office. I got an email that said Employee Appreciation Day. I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss out probably on a donut. And I opened it and it was just an email saying, we appreciate you. And you should also if you recognize your coworkers, if you want to call them out for doing something great, you can do that. That was it.
Hey, not we appreciate you. You guys want evidence of it, do it to each other.
Yeah, you do it.
Yes.
Assholes.
We encourage you to appreciate each other. And we have given you extra work by having to read and delete this email.
Well, the real pleasure in gift giving is not, you know, the receiving the gift, it's the giving of the gift. And so we are giving you the gift of appreciating other people. We're not going to do it because that's the best part.
I've heard you guys say it repeatedly. This meeting could have been an email.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was.
And this
and instead of having the Rolling Stones come as we had planned and budgeted for, we're not. That meeting is now this email.
Yeah, so very, very happy to see that.
Also, heads up, the cost of sending out this email was equal to renting the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm. We had to. It's for tax purposes, we had to.
Business. Business.
Business.
That's right. War. It's awful stuff. Some might say it's an inevitable part of human nature. Some say it's something to be avoided at all costs. And others would say it's an opportunity to move some units, baby. That's right. This week on the Free Legal Advice Podcast, we are rebranding temporarily as Free Business Advice. About to business up you, our listener, who we sometimes call Lil Captain
cost
Travis.
A fortune and business cards and URLs, frisbees.
Oh, man.
But for 1 week only, we are completely rebranding.
We're doing it. We're willing to do that to help
you. We have
you.
Surrendered all of our trademarks on Free Legal Advice, so hopefully no one snaps those up.
Oh shit, that's just sitting there unlocked back home. Oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they'll be friendly, Grant. This is business.
Yes.
Well, some of you may have seen where someone takes a book like The Art of War or The Book of Five Rings and they try to apply it to business. If you haven't ever come across something like that, be thankful that you have few business douches in your life, or you have avoided LinkedIn somehow.
Yeah, where... You've never been on LinkedIn, yeah.
Oh, my God. Motherfuckers be trying to apply this. And rather than applying it to business douchedom, we thought we would apply this to, some jobs that we were thinking of that may or may not apply to the listeners. So hopefully, listeners, you can get something good out of this. So what I did, I went through some famous martial strategy and tactics, selected a few that I know can apply in the business setting. And I have my three business experts here who also happen to be martial experts of the Napoleonic caliber. They will apply this advice to these professions.
We are business ninjas of the Napoleonic caliber, just like the business ninjas Napoleon himself deployed. Mm-hmm.
I consider myself the Admiral Chester Nimitz of ninjas.
General Corey Hannibal crossed the Alps with ninjas. It's a well-known fact.
Let's just say it was me and Nobunaga with the with our ambition.
Yep,
absolutely.
Corey Naga's ambition.
Seifker's just harder to say. Nobunaga rolls off the tongue, you know?
Yeah.
So let's jump into this. I've got quite a few of these and quite a few different jobs we can apply this to. So here's a quote. Know your enemy and know yourself. Sun Tzu emphasizes the importance of understanding your own strengths and weaknesses, as well as those as your enemy, in order to be successful in warfare. Corey, how would you apply this if you were the manager of a B-dubs?
Knowing that there is success and failure throughout war, and also you're going to have that, you know, with wing return frequencies based on, you know, feather appearance through the wings. What I'm saying is I'm going to have to apply both a tautology and a principle to this.
I've already liked your post.
Thank you. Please like my post and reply with a maxim or axiom. You can't give out like adult-sized. You can't give out kid-sized meals to adult people. That's how you're getting screwed at a BW3s. People say, you know, like, oh, I want a kid's side of something and a soda, but they're going to drink as much soda as an adult. You're losing $2 each time. So what I'm saying is you just let the staff know. You go wink and say, yeah, I can get you a kid's portion, but it's a full portion of mashed potatoes. I know they just came in for the wings. But yeah, you. So when your enemy's making mistakes, you got to charge them full price for apps. That's my adage.
I think you could also, you know yourself, like know how many beers you should drink on your shift that night, right? And you hold yourself to that limit. But you know others, like your patrons, if they want to buy you beers because you're doing such a good job, those don't count on your own, you know, the number of tallies of beers that you should drink. So
they shouldn't.
It kind of goes both ways, right?
So, Matt, I've got one for you. The book encourages readers to seek out indirect strategies and avoid direct confrontation if possible in order to minimize risk and preserve resources. Matt, if you were the senior VP at a global insurance company, how might you apply that lesson?
Well, I mean, you kind of said it right there. It's minimizing risk and preserve resources is really the nature of the insurance game, right? So at the VP level, which is really where, I mean, ninjas don't start below, we don't work below, if you're a director, sorry, you don't get the ninja consultation here, but I'm glad this person is a VP and above. Maybe, did you say senior VP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's what his LinkedIn says anyway.
So you want to minimize risk to the business by closing the blinds to your office when you're watching porno during the workday.
Aha. Very good.
Did you say open the blinds?
Nope. See, that's what a lot of people think.
That, Grant, yeah.
To minimize, you do the little and the little.
Oh, you know, close thing, the slats. The blinds.
Yeah, close them.
Wait, Matt. So I have this straight. You said minimize risk by hanging dong, or did you say close the blinds? It was
all of the above.
I'm not getting
close blinds first.
It's very complicated.
Then hang dong.
Oh my God, okay. My mind is blown.
Okay, Grant, are you ready?
Yes.
Take advantages of opportunities as they arise. Sun Tzu emphasizes the importance of timing and knowing when to strike and when to wait and be successful. How would this be applied if you were an engineer designing plumbing systems for commercial buildings?
What I would do when I'm designing the plumbing systems for the commercial buildings, as I'm an engineer, in order to stay flexible and take advantage of the opportunities, what I would do is wait until after the chili cook-off, then I can get a sense of the maximum load that I'm going to have to handle in designing this plumbing system. Once that's done, I know I'm never going to peak beyond that. You know, that's going to be as much as I'm going to have to handle, because you don't want to build a plumbing system that can't handle the maximum load.
Okay. All I heard was plumbing and maximum load, and I'm sold. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hard for some reason. I don't know.
Corey, use deception to mislead your enemy, Corey. Sun Tzu emphasizes the use of deception and strategic misdirection. How would you use that if you were a police officer?
You know, the thing is, when you're in like a trusted position of power like that, you want to make sure that you're using this power gifted to you in the best way to benefit all mankind. So I would absolutely start a campaign and I would let people think that my job was to keep the peace. And I would confuse and mislead them by instead protecting the wealth of capitalist overlords. But don't think it's not all negative. I'll also sneak into schools and fingerprint kids in the kindergarten, and I'll scare them with guns at a young age.
Good advice. Sound advice.
If we want to kind of lean into more of a kind of like a Silicon Valley side of this, I would also say that we should pivot and try to scale.
Good business advice. This is business advice, indeed.
Business ninja.
So speaking of business advice, Matt, get your business hat on. Improve some business advice with this important tactical note. Ninja stars are the best weapon. You should never be caught without them. How would you apply that if you were some guy who measures seismic forces around construction sites?
Granted, someone who measures seismic forces around construction sites is probably a pretty slow-witted person. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't make assumptions here, but
and ugly too.
Just about anybody else should be able to just take that for face value. Ninja stars are the best weapon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't be caught without them. So you're setting up your rig. They got the backhoe over there and they're about to dig, and you got your little seismometer and your needles are moving on the thing. You don't know if some, you know, mafia boss who's getting some no work construction hour jobs or no show construction jobs is right around the corner. Have a goddamn ninja star on your person at all times. You see evidence of wrongdoing, start flinging those things. It's for your own safety.
It is for your own safety. That this pretty much applies to every listener. Grant, know when to strike and when to wait. This is all about timing and how to use it to be successful in warfare. What if you were a dentist? How would you apply that? Know when to strike, know when to wait.
When to strike? Well, most obvious time to strike is mouth open. But that's probably that's probably dentistry 101. I assume. I mean, I'm not a dentist. I am obviously qualified to pretend I am a dentist for the purposes of this question, but I assume that's dental school 101. Mouth open. Other than that, I mean, you can strike when the cavity is least expecting it. You have to put yourself in the mind of the cavity. Think like a cavity. And the path will be open to you.
Oh, that is excellent Confucius advice. Said
that. It was Confucius the dentist who said that.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, because I think Confucius said, ah.
Oh, boy.
he's in the chair. He's in the fucking dentist chair.
That shouldn't have worked, but that
time.
Really worked. I don't know how that worked.
Oh, my God.
All right, Corey. Use terrain and other environmental factors to your advantage. How would you apply that if you were an assistant jewelry technician, you know, just working at a jewelry store?
This is one of those things that it sounds like kind of like, you know, it's only got a martial application, you know, like scan the horizon to make sure, see if anyone's cresting it, you know, use the terrain to block your movements, keep yourself moving and keep yourself hidden. But really, by terrain, they meant gold dealers.
See, I was thinking terrain could also mean titties. Like, you know, your customer comes in, she thinks she wants a watch, and you see, you know, check out the terrain, wink, wink, and maybe upsell her on a beautiful diamond necklace that would fit her terrain perfectly.
That's what the landforms. That's what you're. That's the new slang.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Love to see a topographical map of her top half.
So anyway, moving on.
Like a topless graphical.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Everyone knows it's important to cultivate strong leadership and communication skills. Matt, what if you were a writer or a VFX artist, but really you just drove Uber all day?
How would I cultivate strong leadership and communication skills?
Yeah, how do you use that? How do you apply that to your job?
Well, you really should. I think this person may already be kind of like following this because, like, all gig employees, you know, you're a writer, you're doing this on the side, you got the VFX thing. At the end of the day, be a leader and getting a paycheck by doing the only thing that actually will pay you money, which is drive Uber and not any of the things that you really, any sort of creative or talent or any, those are worthless in today's economy, right? Yes. So I think this person's already doing it. So I'm just going to say, keep doing what you're doing.
Pick up fast food for people slightly richer than you.
Yes. Great advice. Grant, all right, the tactical quote, I'm like Michael Jordan, except I'm 7'1" and 325 pounds.
That was Sun Tzu?
The great Shaquille O'Neal said this. What if you worked at a factory, but you described it to me as I work with R words when I asked him what his job was?
Oh. Now, okay. I'm pretty sure Sun Tzu said this as well. I mean,
advice from Shaq. Or Sun Tzu. No.
Yes. Shaq I think said it, but I know Sun Tzu said it. I remember him saying it.
Shaq Tzu.
He was drunk. Mm-hmm. He was drunk when he said it.
Sun Tzu, the Diggy Dun Dada.
I know he said it. I heard him. And I work at a factory with R words. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Mentally R people.
Wreckers? Now, oh.
Being like Michael Jordan, except 7'1" and 325 pounds. Name me a situation where that doesn't give you an advantage. The thing is, this is good advice, but it's the kind of advice that's difficult to follow because everyone knows it's like a guaranteed win in any situation, but it's difficult to achieve the 7'1". Pretty easy to achieve the 325 pounds. A lot harder to do it with the 7'1" at the same time. And that is what Sun Tzu failed at. He was eating those donuts left and right. He knew he could achieve the one, and he figured the other one might come with experience. Didn't work.
So if I may, I take this that, you know, he should be he's a force to be reckoned with, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the size, and people are just going to have to deal with him. You can't get around him. You're just going to have to deal with him. And I think you make your coworkers deal with you. Just drop trow and shit on the floor at the factory just in the middle of the
That'll
shift.
Do it.
Make them fucking deal with it. Make them deal with it.
That you will be as unstoppable of a force as Shaquille O'Neal in the low post if you shit on the factory floor.
Yeah.
During a second shift.
And taking a note from the philosopher Vito Jr. from Sopranos, when you take that shit, make sure you step in it too. It's important that you shit in front of people and then step in it.
Absolutely. All right, Corey. This is from the Book of Five Rings. Musashi said, to learn the sword, study the guitar. To learn the fist, study commerce. How are you supposed to apply that if you're a second grade teacher?
You see that there's a crossover of skills. Learning the sword by playing the guitar, learning the fist by studying commerce. These things seem like they're disparate, but you find that the deeper you go into it, the more you find that there's a connection and a crossover. And so, as most second grade teachers, you probably either are a heavy drinker or a bartender at night to make ends meet. So, hey, you already know how to stop fights and deal with people who are acting like children. So now just do it without alcohol in them. And if that's way too far out of your comfort zone, sneak a little booze into them kids.
Excellent.
The government allows a little
advice.
Bit. They don't allow much, but they do allow a little.
You can do a little.
You gotta, you know, make the laws work for you.
What are they gonna do? Breathalyze every kid in the first grade?
Legally, they can't, and in reality, they won't.
Yeah, logistically, it's too troublesome. Matt, they say reconnaissance is the key to a successful mission. If you were the CAD draftsman at a custom trailer manufacturer, how can you apply this to achieve success? Reconnaissance, the key to a successful mission.
Well, here's the thing. You're at your desk cadding it up, and you got you got shit to do, right? You have your you want to get out of there by 5 o'clock, but you got to get this CAD out of the way. So it's important to sit there and work and do your task. But did someone bring in donuts today? What's going on in the office? I don't want to get up. and lose my place and slow myself down. You got to do some recon. Send somebody into the office. Have them come back, you know, let them with news of donuts.
Ideally, the person who like rides their bike to work, so they're probably not going to eat the donuts. Because you don't want to send the fatty in there who's going to eat the donuts and be like, oh yeah, yeah, there were a bunch of donuts in there.
I mean, also,
exactly.
In the event that there are no donuts, there is an alternate reading in which that reconnaissance means just copy someone else's work.
Oh, great. That's what I'm talking about.
It's true. I mean, how many shapes can there be? They've all been drawn. They've all been catted. No. It's just copy and pasting, right?
Here's the clue for this freaking drawer or whoever the hell they're doing. AutoCAD. It does it for you.
What are you sitting there doing CAD? They have AutoCAD now.
Dude.
Just sit back and cruise control.
Wake up and smell the AutoCAD.
It's like a Tesla, though, Green. It only does it halfway. They don't have full AutoCAD yet.
You can only do it when you're on the highway.
They call it AutoCAD Assist.
All right, Grant. Be prepared and anticipate potential challenges. What if your job is, for some reason, called an intake attorney? God knows what that means.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
I don't think even he knows.
Anticipate potential challenges.
To be prepared, you anticipate potential challenges. You have to be one step ahead of the enemy in this case. You know, in war, it'd be the Han or whoever the hell you're fighting. But in this case, you have to be prepared and know that the crazy people who are going to call you saying they want to sue the government or perhaps the Lord Jesus Christ or whoever it is they want to sue, you have to understand. You have to be one step ahead of them because they're coming in with something totally crazy, and they might catch you off guard, and then you might like say, "Okay, yeah, we'll definitely take this case." And it turns out it's not a takeable case, and then the legal system looks down upon that sort of thing. So, in order to anticipate these potential challenges, you must. I mean, I'm repeating myself here, but you got to think like a crazy person. Imagine there are threats coming from all sides, and it's all a conspiracy.
Imagine you yourself as the Lord, are the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, you. It may be you. Imagine you got a letter from Publishers Clearing House that says you may already be the Lord.
honey, it says I may already be a savior.
Because this person got that 5 days a week in the mail, okay? This is what they're living in. They're neck deep in it.
Okay, Corey. Be decisive and take action. Very important advice, huh? Mm-hmm. What if you were a concept artist or a producer, but really you just drove Uber all day?
that hits home. The thing about being decisive and making a decision, like specifically in a creative field, there are multiple ways to get something done. You know, there's never going to be just like one turnkey solution. It's a cut and fit kind of a process for everything, and so the process only moves forward when someone can step forward, make a decision using imperfect information, and just kind of go with it. So I would 100% hire someone to do that for me and have them take the blame. Meanwhile, Coke, I hear fentanyl's pretty good if the Coke's not doing it.
Blame shoe. Classic great strategy.
Oh, I also that's called the ketamine injunction.
Great advice. Matt, the ninja would walk on the outside soles of their feet to be silenced, or sometimes they use sandals with layers of cloth on the bottom so they wouldn't make a sound on hard surfaces. Great advice. But what if you're a material science engineer? How can you apply that?
So you're at the office, you're not supposed, the guy in the corner cubicle, the head honcho's cracking the whip, and you're supposed to be at your cubicle all day long engineering, or is that what they were, engineering, material science, something like that?
A material science engineer, yeah.
But somebody brought in donuts into the break room. What are you going to do? So here's what you do. You leave your shoes. You know, there's a little crack of at the bottom of the cubicle that's visible. You leave your shoes there, so it looks like you're still there. You walk barefoot to go get the donuts. Not only does it look like you're still doing your job, but the stealth and the quiet helps as well. You're not going to leave footprints. There's not going to be any trail that they can't trace you. No jury in the world could convict you that you went and got donuts when you were supposed to be working.
Nor would they, because that's not a crime.
Hey,
so you're in the clear. I guarantee it.
that's
perfect
point.
Advice. It's no perfect jury. Advice.
It's the perfect crime. It's not a crime.
Grant, to be a ninja, indeed, even to contemplate the silent way, one must be a hunter. This means that he knows the way of his prey. He studies their habits, routines, patterns of movement. What if you were an IT consultant? How would you apply this if you were an IT consultant?
Oh, okay. If you're an IT consultant, I mean, that can mean several different things, but to know the way of your prey, you study their habit, like even to contemplate being an IT consultant, one must understand the mind of the person who doesn't understand computers. Forget what the start menu is. If someone says go to the start menu, forget that. And then you have to relearn it yourself. In relearning it, you will then be able to teach them, like, okay, take the mouse. There's a mouse in here? No, okay. No, take the wheelie thingy. It's got the scrolly wheel on the top and it goes click. Make that point to the bottom left. And then you click on it. That's right click. You click the other one. There's a difference. See, when you forget the information, you have to then learn it yourself, and then you will understand the mind of your prey, by which I mean people who don't understand how computers work.
Kill your coworkers. That's what I'm hearing. I like it.
They don't call me the Admiral Chester W. Nimitz of IT consulting for nothing. They don't it's call not me for that nothing. For nothing. I promise you.
It's true. They don't call you that.
That's the Nimitz promise.
Corey, a fireplace is a classy centerpiece of a living room. Two samurai swords tastefully displayed on top of the mantle means I'm classy and I'm not to be flexed with. What if you own a painting company that paints commercial buildings?
Again, you don't just want to go with a one-to-one, like a sword equals painting. That's going to be foolish. You're never going to connect those dots. You're trying to like open up your mind a little bit. The thing about, so I said, like, these are like broad ideas that we're trying to apply. And I'm just going to get to it. Like, the fireplace is the center of the home, the cooking, the heating. It's always been the center of the home place. And, painting, that's the center of construction and decoration, because paint hides a multitude of sins. And after you've been successful in painting, of course you're going to get more than one sword. One sword was guaranteed. If anyone's fighting you about the second sword, you send them our way, and we will free legal advice that second sword into your mantle place.
Point them at the first sword.
Can we borrow the swords?
That is the most important point. Why can't I have swords too?
Long story short, can we have a go with your swords?
Yes. This one also came out of a ninja book. The air method of hiding refers to hiding like a raccoon, Tanuki Gakure no Jitsu. It means that one should climb a tree or other high place and press oneself against the object so that one seems to be part of it. Great advice. What if you're an inventory manager at a tomato products factory?
Yes. That definitely sounds like a real title that I personally did not make up. I would say, were I such a person... See, this is the way this does obviously specifically apply to such a person at a tomato factory, but it really could apply to any job. When you are hiding from your superiors who want you to be doing work, but instead you want to not be doing work, you can't just like sit back, lean back in your chair, put your feet up. You have to find a way to hide. I would suggest, you have a warehouse at your disposal in this case. There is a whole, world of hiding places, likely high up, like a tree. You have to learn how to climb those pallets without tipping them over. It takes some skill, takes some practice, but you can climb the pallets up and you can just kind of like spread eagle your way right at the top of them, but you're like between two stacks of them, so they're both supporting you up. So then
Ooh, nice.
You have hidden like air, my friend.
Just like a tanuki fucking the top of a tree. Mm-hmm.
Just like a raccoon tanuki in Japan.
I mean, that Grant, what you, all that stuff that you just said is correct, but an alternate, you know, methodology that you could apply. I took it to mean, you know, all that tanuki talk meant like find a place behind some pallets where you can go play Super Mario 3 and kind of fuck off for the day while nobody can find you.
If you can hook up a Nintendo, if there's like an outlet in the ceiling or something at the top of these pallets. Absolutely. But that goes with any advice that I would ever give in any situation is if you could hook up a Nintendo to it, do so and play Mario 3.
Excellent advice. Hey, because you guys are collaborating on such excellent advice, we've got just a handful more to go here. And I think anyone who's feeling it, jump in, or if you need to collaborate, you know, give these guys some advice here. Okay. Great strategy creates options to accomplish the mission. Oh, that sounds pretty good, huh? Great strategy creates options to accomplish the mission. What if you're an attorney specializing in defending employers with regards to wage and discrimination disputes?
Well, I'm not arguing that great strategy creates options to accomplish the mission. That may be true, but didn't the master also say the righteous path is illuminated by billable hours?
Ooh.
Classic. He did say classic advice.
So basically, maximize those billable hours. Move the mouse a little bit so the dot is green. Whatever you got to do to count.
You create those options, and then you pursue each and every one of them, regardless of which one is best. You do all of them. That will maximize the billable hours.
All of the above. I love it.
I'm just saying, you approach this. You don't just jump into it. You actually, like, there has to be strategy. Great strategy. You need to... you need to disrupt things. You need to monetize. We have to talk about microdosing the platform. You need to be a thought leader, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it sounded like words.
Minimum viable product.
That sounded like words.
Anyways, got more. In closing, unconference.
All right. Got one back with Musashi here. Your grip when cutting something to test your blade, and your grip when slashing in combat should be no different to when gripping the sword as you would kill a man. What if you're a nurse?
There's a lot of wisdom contained in these words that your grip when cutting or slashing should be the same as killing, because cutting and slashing, not killing.
Right, like don't half-ass it when that guy brings in donuts. Cut right through that fucker with a scalpel. Just like you would a guy's liver who had a disease. I don't know how nurses work. I've been to the doctor in years.
When the surgeon asks for the scalpel, you hand it to them just as you would any other piece of surgical equipment.
I think he's challenging you. I think you attack him. I think you don't let go of the scalpel and you cut him.
You hold the...
Express your dominance.
This guy's talking about grip. Musashi here's talking about grip. I think it means grip the damn scalpel. Why are you letting the surgeon take the scalpel? He's making the big bucks. You're only making the slightly less big bucks. If you take that scalpel, you start cutting, they'll pay you the big bucks.
Look at me. I am the surgeon now.
Yes. Just like a Somali pirate. And look where they are now. They're making the big bucks. Performing surgery.
They're in the movies?
They're making movies about them.
Great advice. Great advice. We've got two more. All right, back to the ninja book. Two things hinder penetration of the enemy camp: barriers and sentries. To overcome the first of these, the ninja employs the seventh step, Chiang Pi Kung, his wall climbing ability. What if you make websites for local businesses and are passionate about sustainability? How do you utilize your wall climbing ability?
It's so brilliant. Climb over the barrier. Wow, that's what the ninja should do? He shouldn't throw ninja stars at it?
No, he's looking through his manual.
Wait, which one do I do?
There was that other guy back there we were saying make sure to always carry a ninja star. Which one is it?
So, okay. in any creative field, there's always, you're like, oh, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall during that design meeting. Don't be a fly on the wall. Climb the wall. Climb the wall and be in that design meeting.
Yes. The barriers that exist, not only toward your own personal advancement, but just towards, like, you know, politeness, like doors that are closed for people having private conversations.
Climb it.
Circumvent those barriers. Oh. Get around them. Doors have knobs.
Climb that door.
Locks are meant to be picked.
Well, Corey, since you mentioned this is a creative field, then I would also suggest climbing into your Uber and trying to make a living that way, because again, our economy does not value creative.
Deliver the slightly richer person's Taco Bell.
Yeah, the main thrust of being a creative nowadays is to keep a phone charger for every type of phone in your Uber.
That's keeping your options open. That's great strategy right there.
You can apply that. You can apply that to the bank, I almost said.
You can apply that all the way to the bank. What if you're a banker and you need to apply
strategy?
All right. Last bit of tactical advice. All right. Lodged in my skull was a piece of the crystal of your kingdom, your madness. They said, but warrior, it's lodged inside your skull. And I said, sew it in. Leave it where it lays.
Is that Shaq? Is that Shaq again?
How would you apply that if you were a grill operator and chief man-child caregiver at a Dairy Queen knockoff in a small town?
Yes. Emphasis on the chief man-child caregiver. I think you keep the piece, whatever it is that's lodged in that guy's brain that makes him act the way he does, I think you leave it there. I think we ride this one out.
Do not take it out.
The stories are
free
too good.
Free surgical advice.
The stories are too good.
The phrase evolved to, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But originally it was, leave the shard of crystal and sew it into my skull.
If it ain't bleeding out, don't remove it from my brain matter.
Great advice. God dang it, you guys killed it. I think next time we pivot.
No, we
and,
left it in. We didn't kill him.
We.
Oh, anyway.
Next time we write a book on tactical war advice based on working at Tony's.
Little Captain Travis, we want to hear from you. Who was your favorite U.S. Fleet Admiral? Are you a Nimitz fan? Admiral Christopher Grady guy? Maybe you're a Edward Preble head? Let us know. Email us at freelegaladvicepodcast@gmail.com.
Nothing wrong with Commodore Perry.
All right, I'll be honest. Things aren't really going so well. if you've got errands you'd like us to run or you want us to pick up some Taco Bell, I got kicked off Uber Eats. So if you could just DM me on Instagram, you can follow us there.
We're the same thing. It's just as convenient.
Podcast. It's the same thing. It's different, but and you got to Venmo me the money.
There's another Grant Seifker on there, but it's confusing. Which one do you pick? It's not that hard. Come on.
Like Ben said, times are tough. We're actually posting on Threads now. but we're going strong. We're on Threads. We got some cool samurai swords over there, though. I'm telling you, we got some cool samurai swords. We're going to be posting pictures of samurai swords this week. You can follow us over there. We are stabbed through the heart at Free Legal Advice Podcast on Threads.
Excellent.
Yeah, and if you like the show, the Book of the Five Rings advises you to like podcasts as though you were pursuing the broken and fleeing Mongol hordes with your beloved Great Crested Hawk. which usually means like and subscribe. And
this is the like and subscribe of this day.
Classic.
A classic bit.
Episode 218. Our final day, Saturday, the last day of the week. We hit all six of them, people. our competition, this is perhaps the stiffest competition yet, is reruns of the show Coach. Ooh. Craig T. Nelson is going to be kicking us in the sack every Saturday night, people.
Over and over again.
We're going toe-to-toe with Dauber? The Dauber? Oh, God. We better bring it.
It's going to be... Dauber will be speed-bagging our nutsack for at least the next three seasons. That's my best estimates right now. We got to figure out how are we going to topple this Titan and get our nutsack back.
We might have to bring out the big guns on this one, guys.
How do we get our nutsack back?
Matt, I beg of you. How will we save our nutsack?
What genre? Our nutsack, Matt.
What genre will do it?
Snuff. Or, look, perfect. I'll give you... You're the head honcho here. If I don't know how much snuff is too much snuff, and if you ask me, you can't have enough. That's a little slogan
can't
of mine.
Can't get enough of that wonderful snuff.
Right. If we want to back off of that and want to divert, I'll back down to a reality dating show.
Ooh. I like snuff / reality dating show. Okay. I'm going to put the slash.
A reality dating snuff show.
This is perfect. Why not both? This is absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call the show 9/11, Never Forgive.
Oh, that is perfect for a snuff / reality dating
show.
Guys, can I just say, if we're doing reality dating, I would like to throw out a contact I have.
Ooh.
I would like to throw out adult acting sensation Bimini Littlebottom. She's the siren with the golden throat. I've never heard her sing. but I think she'd be perfect for this.
She would be. We can have like all of the first question on all of the dates on the reality show can be like, where were you on 9/11? That there's nothing better, no better way to start off a relationship than that.
Once you're crossed, hey, never forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing gets me in the mood for dating more than thinking about terrorist attacks or retribution.
Me too.
That gets me hard. Mm-hmm.
This is Saturday night. People.
Oh, my God. My nutsack is safe already. It's like...
Again, it'll take a few years, I think, for us to build up the audience on Saturday night here. Because
here's the thing. I'm looking at the numbers.
People just know you're tuning into those coach reruns.
Craig T. Nelson's bringing in a 69 million share. Or 59 million share.
59.
It may not be worth it, guys.
You know what it would take to beat a 59 million share?
I can't even imagine a number that big. Are you sure those numbers are accurate? I need confirmation. Are you sure?
They're from Coach himself.
Oh, geez. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. 59 mil. Well, this is what really separates the men from the boys here. I think we're going to have to shoot for, and I'm sorry, again, I know it's going to take several years, but I think we're going to have to shoot for a 60 million share. At least. Bare minimum. We get to a 60 million.
Talking Thursday numbers?
I think Coach, Mr. Craig T. Nelson, is going to be guest starring on Who Wants to Murder a Millionaire by that point. and Guy Fieri will be anointing his coffin with donkey sauce, and our nutsacks are saved.
Oh,
ladies
man.
And gentlemen, our nutsacks are saved.
Woo-hoo!
We have programmed a full asterisk week of television. WFLP, The Flap, catch the flap.
Turn internet over.